Hey, happy Father's Day. So glad that you joined us today and love dads. I love dads. I'm a dad. I like myself, but I love dads. I think dads are awesome. And in fact, I've kind of come to think that being a dad actually ever so slightly edges out being a mom. And here's why. Because as a dad, you get all the joy of being a parent without the labor. I mean, labor pains without the labor pains. Oh, that's the last shade I'm going to throw on you, dads. Okay, I know you do a lot of work around the home and the family. But this is kind of how it goes, right? You know, we go to Mother's Day and we just bless moms, and moms are awesome, and moms are great. And then we get to Father's Day, and it's like, come on, dads, pick up the slack. You know, stop being so lazy. And we just kind of hammer on dads a little bit, but not today, because I'm a dad, so I'm not going to be like that. But I want to bless and honor you dads. I actually believe dads are extremely valuable and extremely important. In fact, I know this because have you heard a thing called father wounds, dad wounds? Yeah. But do you know who are the people that can hurt you the most? The people that are closest to you? And not only that, but the people that you most want to impress. And yet, at the top of the list of those that we want to impress, that we want affirmation from, do you know who's at the top of the list all the time? Dads. Whether you had a good dad or a bad dad, the truth is we all want our dad to say, hey, I'm proud of you. You're valuable. We want to impress our fathers because fathers are so, so important and so, so valuable. So dads, you're awesome. Don't let anyone tell you different. And you're so important and you're so valuable. But even more than that, get this. When the Bible writers, many, many years ago, in fact, Jesus himself, he was most famous for this, when they were trying to figure out a word for God and our relation to him, do you know what word they picked? Fathers. So as fathers, you kind of, yeah, that's kind of amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. To me, it's amazing. But it's also amazingly intimidating, isn't it? It's like, okay, so I am like a father, but God's a father, so I'm supposed to be kind of like a picture of God to my kids. Well, who of us is ever going to be able to do that, right? So there's this insecurity, I think, as fathers that we carry. Now, I've never been a mom, but I think I've heard moms carry this insecurity as well. But as a father, I carry this insecurity. I know many fathers do, of feeling like they're insecure in how they're doing, but also, as fathers, we feel insufficient, right? It's like, I don't know if I can be the father that I even want to be. I fail in my own idea of what a father should be. So there's this insecurity and we feel insufficient as fathers often. So today, what I want to do, this is going to be a Father's Day message, okay? So just so you know, if you're not a father, it can still apply to you because the things we're going to talk about apply to all relationships, but especially to fathers. So what I want to do today for fathers, especially you know, insecure, insufficient fathers, which would be all of you, the only ones that aren't insecure and insufficient are the ones that aren't fathers yet, but they'll get there. So all of you fathers, like, I just don't feel like I can measure up. I'm not measuring up. I just want to give kind of two things that you can do to be a better father. But before we do that, here's as simple as I can make it, how you can be a great father, okay? So if you're feeling a little bit insecure, here's how you can kind of grow in becoming an even better or becoming a great father. It's just this. You, to be a great father, be like your heavenly father. It's simple, right? Just be like God. It's like, oh yeah, that insufficient and insecure thing, just like whoosh, through the roof, right? Like, sure, that's how I need to be. I just have to be perfect like God. I can't be like God. But you know, there's two things I want to talk about today that God does in his fathering of us that if we grow in as fathers, in fact, if you're in a relationship, if you grow in these things in your relationship, it'll just make your relationship better. So you apply this to yourself as well, but especially for fathers. If you do these two things that God does for us, you'll be a long way down the road in being like your heavenly father, even though you can never quite be like him. So I just want to encourage you, fathers, today. If you're feeling like, you know, you're awesome, you're valuable. Continue to grow in these things. Continue to be like your heavenly father. So here's the two things, right? Be present and be working. God does these things for us as he fathers us. In your relationships, especially as fathers, be present and be working. So I want to talk about these two things. So first of all, be present. What does it mean to be present? Well, it's interesting. One of the greatest, most famous promises that Christians hold on to, and even people that aren't Christians yet, When they think of God, one of the greatest promises that we hold onto is found in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, and it has to do with be present. It says this, never, God is speaking, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. In essence, God is making this promise, and we hold on to this, even if you're not a person of faith yet, you've held on to this when it comes to God. That God is somehow going to be with you, and he will never forsake you. He will be for you. He will be present with you. In fact, there's some people who have been followers of Jesus, and maybe you're not a follower of Jesus, that this perceived idea that God wasn't this has led to you having these perceived heavenly father wounds. Because God somehow let you down, that God wasn't there for you, and you felt like God wasn't there when you needed him, and so you have these perceived heavenly father. I say perceived because we know from this promise God was there, whether we feel him or not. But we have these perceived because this is so, so important. See, here's the thing. Be present, because here's the thing. Presence is important. It is so important. In fact, presence is not just important. Presence is king. I'm going to say this for you fathers. If you do this one thing, if you're just simply present with your children, I'm not just talking fathers that are 30 years old and have kids that are 5 and 6. I'm talking if you're an 80-year-old father, if you're a 70-year-old father, if you're present with your children, even your grown children, if you're simply present, here's what I'll tell you. This one thing that you do will make your kids overlook all kinds of failures and shortcomings in other areas of your parenting. If you are simply present, if you are simply there, they will overlook all kinds of other shortcomings and failures that you have as a parent, because presence is king. It is king when it comes to relationships, and it's king when it comes to fathering. And here's why. Because presence shows care. Presence shows care. This is why we have daddy wounds or heavenly father daddy wounds when we think God wasn't there, because it's like you just didn't care. But when you show up, when you're present without saying words, you are telling your children, you're telling the person you're in a relationship with, you're saying this, you're valuable enough that I'm here with you. This is why as young kids, when your children and when you were a kid, you did this too. You were in your recital, your drama recital, your dance recital, or you were at the ball game playing hockey, whatever it is. The thing that every kid does is what? Look up into the stands to see, is dad there? Is mom there? Why is that? Because they want to know, do they care? Am I valuable? Presence is king. So I want to just say, be present. You'll be like a long way down the road of being like your heavenly father if you're simply present with your kids. Here's a false assumption we often fall for as parents. We fall for this actually not just as parents. We fall for this as anyone who's in a relationship, whether a friendship or a relationship. We fall for this, and that is this, that quality makes up or replaces quantity. And we fall for this. We think, you know what? I can't be there very much, but I'm going to make up for lost time. Do you know you can't make up for lost time? It's lost. You can't get it back. But we fall for this assumption that, you know what? I can't be there very much, but when I'm there, oh, we're going to make up for lost time. I know, son, I know, daughter, I'm not going to be very present for like 350 days of the year, but 2 weeks of the year, it's just you and me. And we're going to be fully there. And we get this idea that somehow quality time will make up for a lack of quantity time. But it's a false assumption. It's a lie we fall for. It's not one or the other. It's actually both. It's both and. Because here's the thing. You actually don't know, and I don't know, when our kids will need us. The only thing we can do is play the percentages, which is the more time we're with them, the better chances we're there when they scrape their knee, the better chance we're there when they have their first heartbreak, the better chance we're there when they are at their little league game and they hit the home run to win the championship, or they were up to bat and they struck out and their team lost the championship. See, we don't know when the big moments in our kids happen. Some of them we can guess, you know, grad, marriage, those are important. But some things we don't know when the world's going to come crashing down or they get to their mountaintop. We don't know when those times are coming. We can only play the percentages, which means the more time you're with them, the better chance you'll be there. Presence is so, so important. Be present as your Heavenly Father is present. So because quality doesn't make up for or replace quantity, here's what I want to encourage you as fathers to do, is this. Set your priorities now in light of later. Set your priorities that you're in right now, and that's whether you're a 30-year-old father, a 50-year-old father, an 80-year-old father. Maybe you're going to be a father. But think now, what's going to be important later? And here's the deal. I've never had a father or anyone in their old age say, you know what, I just wish as a younger parent I would have spent more time at the office getting more bonuses, putting in extra time. I just wish I would have missed more of my child's upbringing. No, it doesn't matter if you were very present or not very present. Almost everyone says, I wish I would have just been there more. I just wish it would have been more. So you know you're going to value that later. So set your priorities now in light of that. And there's going to be some things we miss. That's part of us not being God, right? You can't be everywhere all the time. But set your priorities now in light of what you're going to say, this is important later. And one of the things guaranteed that you're going to say this is so valuable is presence. Be present. And as you get older, continue to be present with your kids, to be present with your children. You know, mostly we've talked about presence in the sense of physical presence, right? To be there physically with our kids, our grown kids, whatever it is. But I also want to talk about another area of presence, and that's being emotionally present, especially as fathers. You know, I think a lot of us fathers, it's a little stereotypical, I know. If you're not this way, it's okay. But a lot of fathers are kind of tough. Often we're a little more stern and maybe a little less emotionally caring and so on. And you know what? I think there's a place for us to be tough because, you know, as a culture, we're kind of raising a bubble wrap generation. We just wrap every kid in bubble wrap and, you know, don't go through anything hard. And yet we need that sternness. We need that toughness to raise a generation of kids that have grit and resilience and perseverance. And so that part of fathering, if you're kind of a tough father, that's good. But we're also called, as we're present, to be present emotionally, to be present in their highs and lows, in their joys and their sorrows and their struggles. And this one's challenging, I think, for us as dads, because often we aren't really all that emotional, or we don't connect emotionally, and we're fixers, right? Like stuff breaks and we fix it, and then there's like emotions, and I don't know how to fix that because I don't have a wrench for that one yet. And so we're just like, we don't know exactly what to do as fathers, and we feel like we should say something to fix it. But here's what I want to encourage you in. Just be present in their emotions, whether your kids are grown or not grown. In their emotions, be present with them. It speaks more than you'll ever speak with words. I have a personal example of this. When I was in junior high, my dad took me, and there was a bunch of fathers in our church that took their grade 9 sons on a camp out. And it was kind of a camp out to kind of encourage us as sons in being sexually pure, right? We're going through puberty and being sexually pure is just a challenge and temptation for young kids and so on. And so there was kind of this weekend of just committing to purity. And my dad wanted to give me something as a keepsake as I committed to purity. And I'm not really a big, like, gadget chains or necklaces or even rings. Like when I got married, I'm like, do I really have to wear a ring? I just don't really like jewelry type stuff. So what could my dad give me as a keepsake? Well, this is what he got me, and it's stuck with me for the last 22 years. It goes with me everywhere I go, a keychain. And simply on it, it says, Elvin, be strong in the Lord, Ephesians 6:10. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. As you face purity struggles and temptation, be strong in the Lord. And you know what? I can't, true story, from that whole weekend of camping together, I can't remember one thing my dad told me about be pure. Not one thing. But do you know what stuck with me? He was present. He said, Elvin, this is a struggle, not just for you, for me. I'm entering into your struggle. I'm with you. I'm present there. And it probably was awkward for my dad, but he went through it. And again, I want to encourage you as fathers. You don't always have to fix things. We don't have to fix things. I say this to myself. We don't always have to have answers for every emotional struggle, but sometimes just join in the struggle. Be present with your children. That's with young, middle-aged, and old children. be present with your children, to be a great father. Grow in becoming a little bit more like your heavenly father. And you'll be a long way down the road if you simply do this first thing. As I said earlier, your kids will overlook all kinds of imperfections, all kinds of failures, all kinds of ways that you weren't the perfect father if you just do this one thing. Be present, be present. The second thing we looked at was be working, be working. Now, what do I mean by be working? Well, often we think of be working as like, you know, as dad, I'm the breadwinner and I'm gonna be working and providing for my kids. And you know what? If you are, as a father, the breadwinner, that is a valuable role. And don't let anyone make you feel bad for working hard and being that person who provides for the family if that's part of your role. And just having that role will mean you will be less present from time to time. But by be working, often we think we can hide behind the, you know, I'm the breadwinner. We can hide behind that when really we have these other desires just to be working. And we stay away from the family because we want to climb the ladder. We want to meet some desires of career desires or financial desires we have. And we can kind of hide behind this, be working, you know, I'm providing for the family. And so we got to be careful that, I think, as dads, if we're the breadwinner in the home, if we're working hard that way, and not use that as an excuse to not be present with our kids. But I'm not talking about that kind of working when I'm talking about be working. I'm talking about a different kind of working. In fact, let's look at the Apostle Paul, the way he wrote it. This is maybe the most famous verse in all of Scripture about fathering. If you've been around church or the Bible any length of time, this will be very familiar to you. Ephesians 6:4 says this, and I think this has to do with be working. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. He starts with this, and he'll go on, and we'll get to it. But he starts with this. Do not exasperate your children. What does it mean to exasperate? Exasperate means that you drive your children so hard that eventually they say, I can't do it. I can't reach the, you know, the expectation you have. I can't reach the desires for me. I just can't be what you want. And they just kind of give up. You drive your kids, you exasperate them. So they're frustrated and they say, throw in the towel. I'm done. I can't. And what Paul is saying is don't exasperate your children. Don't push them so hard. So what could we do or not do to keep from exasperating our children? Here's a couple things I think Paul is leaning into as he says, don't exasperate your children. I think one is combine rules with relationship. And with is the key word. It's not one or the other. Combine rules, and this is, you know, young kids, older kids, as they grow older, things change. But combine rules or your expectations with relationship. Because here's the thing. Expectations and rules that are separated from loving relationship will become exasperating. It's like, I can't ever meet that. It's cold, it's hard-hearted, it's this unending drive to be better, 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 but when do you ever achieve it? And it will exasperate your kids, even your grown kids. They can't reach it. And so combine rules with relationship. The moment you take rules and you marry them to a relationship, even though your kids may not like the rules, because let's be honest, kids don't really like rules. I mean, who of us do? But the moment you combine the two, suddenly you've combined love with the expectation. And suddenly it becomes a little bit more, hey, I think I can do it. I think I can make that happen. See, I think often in our cultures, and I say cultures because this is true throughout history, and this is true of our personality. Usually we pick one or the other. And maybe as a parent, you're like the rules person, right? It's just like, obey or just, come on, you got to obey. Or maybe you're just like the relationship person. You're always like, just be friends, right? We seem to kind of go to one or the other, both culturally and personally. In fact, when Paul was writing this in the first century, the culture of that time, both in Jewish culture and the Roman culture, was the father was the head of the home. In that time, head of the home meant the father had absolute and ultimate unquestioned authority. Everyone else was like a slave. Your kids, they didn't question you. They just obey, obey, obey. And Paul comes along in the first century and just kind of like, whoa, no one had been thinking about this. But he says, don't exasperate your kids. Children, combine rules and relationship because you're gonna tire them out. You're gonna push them away. So it's not one or the other. It's both and. I think in our culture today, young parents, I think we're kind of going this direction. And in our culture, we've let go of authority for the chance to just be our kids' bud. We just want to be friends with our kids, right? I just want to be buds, best buds with my kid. But here's the deal. We are called to parent to have rules. And so it's not, you know, give up one for the other, but combine them. Combine rules and relationship in your disciplining. Combine the discipline with the relationship so as not to exasperate your kids or to discourage them so much, like, whatever, I can't. A second thing, I think that kind of flows out from this and what Paul's saying, don't exasperate your kids, would be this: encourage rather than exasperate. Encourage your children. I mean verbally, especially as fathers. Encourage your kids. I said earlier, at the top of the list of people we want to impress is our fathers. We want their affirmation. And in fact, I think Jesus and the Father God model this so well for us. See, Jesus, whose heavenly Father was God, our heavenly Father, long before he had ever done anything epic for God, right? All the things that we read in our New Testament, you know, the miracles and the sermons and the parables and, you know, turning water into wine and feeding 5,000 with five loaves and two fish and all these things we read about God. Long before Jesus did any of that, God showed up in Jesus' life at his baptism. He hadn't done any, like, amazing things in the sense that we write them down and we read about them. And do you know what God the Father said of Jesus? He said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him, I'm well pleased." Those are words all of us. Isn't it true? Whether you had a good dad or a bad dad, isn't it true? Those are words we all want to hear from our Father. "This is my Son. This is my daughter, whom I love. With him, with her, I'm well pleased." So I encourage you, dads, as you continue to be like your Heavenly Father, to not exasperate your kids. Encourage them along the way. Give hope to them and say, "Hey, I love you. I'm proud of you. I'm glad you're my son. I'm glad you're my daughter." Encourage them along the way. You know, even as an older parent, if you're 65, 75, 85, and you have kids that are 40, 50, 60, do what your 40, 50, and 60-year-old kids want to hear from you? "Son, daughter, I'm proud of you. I love you. Glad you're my child." You can speak life into your kids simply with words. In fact, this past year, I'm 37 years old. This past year, my dad spoke some words of encouragement to me. And my dad and I have a good relationship. And he doesn't know this. But when he spoke those words to me over Zoom, because we were in COVID, it actually brought me to tears. Because even as a 37-year-old, I still want to know, "Dad, are you proud of me? Dad, do you love me? Are you glad I'm your son?" So speak life. Speak life. And you'll be like your Heavenly Father who speaks life into you and into his kids. Well, Paul, I think, is speaking about these things, but he kind of expands in another direction as he talks about be working. So we read this earlier. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Then he says this: instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Here's the contrast. Rather than making them give up and throw in the towel, yeah, combine rules and relationship, yeah, encourage them along the way. But here's what you really, the most important thing that you can do as a father and the most important thing you can do as a friend is bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And this is what Paul means by be working. As a father, if you're going to mimic your Heavenly Father, be working. Working the faith into your kids. And you can do this at younger ages. It looks like, you know, maybe you're reading the Bible stories to your kids, and it takes time, and you're tired, and it's the end of the day, or it's early in the morning, you're like, "I just don't have time for this." But be working. You know, maybe it's memorizing scripture. Maybe it's, as they grow older, having conversations of theology. You know, like one of the things I love doing with my father-in-law is just having God conversations. It's great. And it builds me up. It encourages me. You can continue to have those conversations. You build Christ, Jesus in the gospel, into your kids. But do you know what is most important? The most important thing that you can do as a dad in building up your kids in their relationship to God? It actually has to do with you. It has to do with you and God. It actually has to do with you and your faith. See, for all the things you can do to tell your kids this or train them up in this and give them godly advice in this, the most important thing that you can do to build Christ into your kids is build Christ into you. To accept Christ and to allow him to flow through you. Because here's the deal. Your kids, whether young or old, are more likely to do as you do than to do as you say. Your kids, and maybe they're grown, maybe they're still young, but your kids are more likely to do as you do than they are to do as you say. And so as fathers, we can talk all this and say, hey, here's what you should do. You should be full of grace. If we're not full of grace, they're just going to do what we do. If we say, hey, you know what? You need to be a person of integrity, but then you don't keep your word. You know what they're going to do? Kind of like what you do. If you're like, hey, you know what? You need to be in the word and be pursuing Christ, but they never see you pursuing Christ. You know what they're going to do? Kind of like what you do. Because your kids are more likely to do as you do than to do as you say. So the most important thing as you train up your kids in the Lord is for you to invest and spend time and pursue your Heavenly Father. The most important thing that you can do as an earthly father is have a great relationship with your own Heavenly Father. With your own Heavenly Father. So, to be a great father, be like your Heavenly Father. And take some steps. And if you do these two things, you'll be a long way down the road. A long way down the road to being like your own Heavenly Father. In fact, if you're in any kind of friendship or relationship, these truths apply. This is what great friendship, this is what great parenting looks like. Be present and be working. Now, undoubtedly, some of you here haven't had a father who was present or working. And maybe if for different reasons, this message is extremely painful for you. Maybe your father wasn't present or working because your father didn't care. He never showed up in your life. You never knew your father. Maybe your father wasn't present or working because you lost your father. He passed away, and maybe it's quite recently. But the pain that you feel today on Father's Day is actually proof of the value and importance of dads. And so although you did not have a great earthly father, I want to point you to your Heavenly Father, who's always present. He's present with you, and he's always working. You know, this is one of the things I tell my kids. I want to be a good father. But I tell my kids, listen, kids, I'm going to do the best I can. But you know what? I'm going to let you down. You'll probably have some father wounds one day because I'm not your Heavenly Father. And the best thing we can do as earthly fathers is continually point our kids to their Heavenly Father who does not leave you and who does not forsake you. So I don't know where you're at. Maybe you're a father. Maybe Father's Day is a real painful day because of the fact that you didn't have that father for whatever reason. May we all look to our Heavenly Father. And if you have the great, awesome, amazing opportunity to be a father, be like your Heavenly Father. Be working and be present. Let me pray with you. Father, thank you that we get to call you Father. And I know for some today that's a bit of a stumbling block because they think, God, if you're anything like my earthly father, I don't want anything to do with you. But I think we all have a sense of what a father should be. And God, you are the perfect Heavenly Father. And so, Father, I pray that today our eyes would all turn to you, to see you more fully. I pray for those that are struggling with today because they had an absentee father or a father who abused them, who was not a good father, or their father has recently passed. And today's a day filled with pain. I pray that it would not be a pain that turns to bitterness, but it would be a reminder of the importance and the value of Father, and they would turn to their Heavenly Father. And Father, I pray for those of us that get the privilege of being dads. It's a great joy. It's also kind of makes us a little insecure and we feel insufficient. But I pray that you would encourage us today. We'd be built up and that we would become just a little bit more like how you are with us. And we just thank you for dads. Pray that you'd bless everyone. Pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We trust you have been encouraged and challenged in your faith journey. If you're desiring prayer, want more information on our church, want to partner with us, or be involved in any way, please go to our website at MountOliveEFC.com. We'll see you next time.